All right, this is Ben Chow here for Citywide Blackout. I'm here on the day before PAX with a good friend of mine on this nice sunny Wednesday afternoon, beautiful early day. Evening. I'm here with a man named Dan Beardo, also known as Daniel Beardo. He's basically the co-founder of the community group for PAX East on Facebook. Just say, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling right now?
Doing pretty good, man. You know, I've just been hanging out in my room with my buddies over here. And just drinking the day away, waiting for our dinner. And then we're going to go head up the pregamer party after this.
Yeah, which I'll be there too as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I am from Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. I've lived there my whole life. I love games. I've been playing games pretty much my whole life since I was a kid. And I mean, I come up here, make my pilgrimage every year for the last 10 years up here to PAX. And it's been awesome ever since. I met a lot of awesome people and made a lot of really cool connections with people when I come up here. So I love Boston. I love PAX. I love everybody else that comes through, and it's great. It's a good time.
So you've been coming to PAX East for 10 years now.
This is the very first one. The very first one when it was at the Heinz Convention Center. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's fun. It's cool. I feel like Boston is like almost like my second home now. Like I was telling these guys yesterday, I was like, you know, I've come up here so frequently that like getting lost in the city is like, I don't know how to get lost here anymore. It's like I kind of just know my way around and how to get around.
That's true. And also like if you haven't explored certain areas, Boston, yeah, just like yeah, yourself, I mean, you can get lost there too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's comparable on the size to like DC. Like DC is not a big city. And I've always, like, when I first came up here, I was like, man, this city is, like, really niche and really small. And, like, it reminds me a lot of, like, D.C., where there's, like, little pocket communities where, like, you can find, like, you know, your bar strips or, like, your more, like, local scene or, like, the high-end areas and stuff like that. So it reminded me a lot of D.C., and I made a really strong connection with Boston when I came up here years and years ago. So that's one of the reasons why I fell in love with it, because it reminds me a lot of D.C.
Nice. You should try out checking out Rhode Island, Providence.
I've been there once. I went there 2 years ago for like a Lovecraft convention. It was a fucking awesome city, and it was just cool. It was small, like even smaller than DC, but it was pretty awesome too. Like a lot of history in that city.
So, what gave you the drive to start a group like that on Facebook?
So it was like when I met Stacy years and years ago, it was just kind of our way. Like she had just put this group together as a means to like keep us connected and like the people that we want. There was only like 5 or 6 people that were in the group just years ago, and she just started just so that we can kind of communicate with each other, be like, all right, hotels are here, like PAX registration's open, like let's do this, let's coordinate. So it's just a coordinating place for us, and she kept it open, and years had went past, and like I noticed the numbers were going up just a little bit, like 30-40 people. It was nothing like significant, and then all of a sudden I was just like, oh crap, I was like, there's like 300 people in this group. I was like, that's crazy. So like we just kind of started being more communicative, like, you know, tickets are coming on sale soon and yada, yada, yada. And then like the group just kind of grew and grew and grew into this unexpected thing that we have now. That's really freaking awesome.
Yeah. Which one of your other admin members know that it's like you guys have reached about 4,500 right now.
Yeah. 4.5. Yeah. It was just like a week ago that we hit that. And I mean, I still think of it now. I'm just like, I never expected our group to ever like it was. When the group was created, it was never like a thought that this was going to happen, that like there was going to be like this many people here communicating and coordinating. And that's the coolest thing, is that they're doing everything that like we started the group as. And it's kind of just taken a life of its own, of people just making their own connections and like, you know, coordinating their own things and showing their own events. So it's like, we totally accept that. We love it. We love how like self-sustaining the group is now. Because before it was like us always like, you know, hey guys, what's going on? Like, what are you guys doing this weekend? Who wants to meet up and this and that? And like now it's like, everybody's got their own thing. It's like, hey, come to my meetup group here. And, you know, like, does anybody have a space in their room, or do you have tickets to sell, or who wants to go and just hang out for the day? I'll be in the lobby. So just a lot of cool, like, connections that I'm seeing people make now. And like I said, like, how self-sustaining the group is. It's like, it's incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah, and also, like, a lot of people, like, share also information, mm-hmm. other experiences, stuff going to PAX as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the, that's a really awesome thing, too. It's because when people came into the group, it was them looking to us for advice. So it's like, hey, how much are the hotels, or how much should I bring up there, or what goes on at PAX? What should I bring to PAX? And like, we would always be like there to answer the questions, and then like a couple people would like throw in their things. But now it's like your Facebook messages are going to be ruined when one person asks like, hey, what do you recommend that I bring to PAX in my backpack? And then, like, 20 minutes later, like, 30 comments down the line, like, there's, like, people just submitting, like, their advice. So it's, like, it's awesome. It's just cool to see that everybody's kind of coming together and just offering their support and their advice.
Which at this point, you pretty much, like, I'm just stepping away.
Yeah, I'm just stepping away, and it's just more moderating just to make sure that, like, you know, people are being polite and being friendly and, you know, just all around being good human beings.
Cool. I noticed you also mentioned, like, Stacy, who's also the co-founder. I actually interviewed her last year.
Yeah, I listened to the interview. It was awesome.
Thank you. I mean, there's, like, only you two, but there's a few other admins that manages the group. How big is that group now?
Like, the managing part?
The managing part, since the group has grown up to this huge number these days.
So, it's the only other people that manage or that admin it is Paul. Paul lives in Maryland, too. And we met him here at PAX. He actually joined the group, and I saw that he was from Maryland. And we met up here in Boston, and we've been hanging out. He's a good guy, and I just thought he was a really cool guy to be an extra hand and an extra eyes on the Facebook group. So we added him on, and then we have Donna, who's a moderator, who I met here at PAX, one of Stacy's friends, like, years ago, and we just put her as a moderator. So she just is there kind of watching things on the back end, too. So we're still small right now, and I mean, it's, like, in my eyes, and I know we've talked about it, that I think eventually we're going to need to, like, start divvying out more roles and expanding our eyes and our network of the moderators and admin, because, I mean, once you start getting into that, like, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, like, there's just so, like, I don't even get to see all the posts sometimes, because there's just so many posts, and, like, more eyes would always just be better. But it's also, I also have to give it up to the community, too, because, like, with our rules set and the community knowing, like, what our standards are, like, we get a lot of people that are, like, you know, reporting posts, just, like, not in the sense of, like, ban it, but just, like, hey, check this out, like, is this okay, like... So we get a lot of people that help us out too to kind of catch things that we don't see sometimes, or that could be a concern for other people.
Awesome. I watch that feed every day. Like, yeah. Well, and a lot of stuff keep popping up on my Facebook feed too. So yeah. It's like I see some of those posts that you talk about.
Yeah.
As well, other posts that where people give advice as well. And I also am one of those people who add.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of that information
too. I see you on there.
I mean, it's a great useful tool. I mean, there's a few other Facebook PAX East groups out there, but this is the one that I see, like, the numbers are huge and the community is.
Really, what I've noticed about those groups, like, so there's, I know there's a couple groups, and, like, there's the PAX parties and there's the PAX East Forever. And I was originally thinking, because the PAX East Forever page is a, they're an actual, like, Facebook page. And I'm kind of more happy that we are a group, because with the group, it is more like a user-based like focus. So it's like people can post things and other people can see it. With pages, when you make a post, it's like hidden behind the discussion tab, where a lot of people don't really notice that, and they don't see people's posts, and they can't get those connections that other people are trying to make. So
it's kind of pretty much separating, like, basically a free-for-all, open source.
Yeah, like an open forum type of thing.
To a basically a block wall.
Yeah. And it's not even blocked. It's there. It's just so, like...
It's like, more, like... It's own entity.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, each group is. Yeah. But it's kind of, like, and trying to raise the bar higher than everybody else.
But the benefit of having, like, a Facebook page when run great is that, like, if you're there for information, like, your information will get seen, because it's always going to be there, and your information will be seen first. So if you're pushing out good information and stuff like that, like... That's what pages are good for. But I'm glad we have a group, because a group is just more for the community aspect, and, like, having the community, like, be incorporated in whatever we do.
And that's what really represents what PAX East and all the other PAX events are, is basically about the community itself.
Oh, hell yeah.
Since this is a community for gamers and other online media content as well, like streamers and stuff like that, I feel like this group is the best... basically is the best representation of that, on my own personal opinion. But but yeah, what you're doing is basically definitely relates to, and also juxtaposed to, actually present what PAX East is.
Yeah.
And other PAX, like PAX West and PAX South.
Yeah.
So talking about PAX, what are you looking forward to for PAX this year?
I mean, it's always games. Like, I like playing games. I love the indie section. I think the biggest hype that I'm of this year is going to be the Gearbox panel, because it's been like, I think, 3 years since Gearbox has been at PAX.
Actually, they were here 2 years ago.
2 years ago, but they didn't hold a panel, did they?
No, they had.
I think they were just there. They were there.
They were there for Bulletstorm.
Oh yeah. Well, whatever.
I have Bulletstorm,
but I like when people think Gearbox are like Borderlands. Come on, where's all the Borderlands stuff? And I think, did Gearbox do Bulletstorm? No. It was Epic at first, wasn't it? Wasn't it an Epic game? Epic. Yeah, it was an Epic game. So I think they remastered it. I think they were
actually. I mean,
Battleborn is their other one.
Yeah.
I might be misspoken. I think Bulletstorm was published by 2K. I don't think.
Yeah, I think it was published. And I think Gearbox had any involvement. Yeah, but yeah, Gearbox is definitely going to be the big one, just because I've been patiently waiting for Borderlands 3.
I've played Borderlands 2 and 1. I still haven't finished that game.
Oh man, so. God, you got to get on it. You got to finish it. At least the second one. The second one is like the cream of the crop. It's like the best Borderlands.
I did put more time and effort for the second one. Mm-hmm. So I mean. But I have a huge backlog of 200 games to play.
Yeah, we all have that backlog.
So, anything else that you look forward to this year, besides Gearbox and Indie Booth?
So I'm looking forward to like the Outer Worlds panel. Like that game looks really interesting. There was like a bunch of people that had posted like developers in the PAX group that like I'm gonna definitely check out their games. Like I like a lot of like the old school like indie style retro games. And there's a lot of that. There's a couple like action RPG games that are on the floor. I think like Last Epoch and I forgot what the other one was. There's a couple that look really interesting. I mean, I have a list, but I mean, it's literally just everything. Like try to get to everything.
So in relation to PAX and gaming, what got you into gaming? Like what game influenced you, or what influenced you
to be a gamer?
Yeah.
You know, I think I would have to. I would have to give all my praise and thanks to my grandfather, because when I was probably like 3 or 4 years old, I mean, we would go to my grandma's house like every weekend for dinner, and my grandfather would play like video games on his computer, and he had like an old like Tandy 1000 or something like that, some old computer, and he loved playing Microsoft Flight Simulator, the very first one. So we would go over there and we'd watch him play games, and then he started just kind of buying games for us to play when we were older, like Sesame Street and like Mixed Up Mother Goose, like the Sierra game and King's Quest. And as we got older, we were just kind of playing these games at his house. And then that in turn, then we had a computer at our house where we'd play like Sammy the Sea Serpent and Number Crunchers and like all those old games from a long time ago. And then we really started getting into it when we got our first Nintendo. I mean, I would have to say it was definitely thanks to my grandfather, who like introduced me to that world. Or whenever we'd go over there, he'd just allow us to play his computer without like any care. He's just like, yeah, whatever, play it.
Cool. So with that, what has been your favorite game that you ever played then?
Oh God, Jesus Christ. Actually, I do know. It's the game that I've logged the most hours in, and it would definitely 100% be Rocket League. Yeah. I put like over like 1,000 hours into that game. And I freaking love that game. But I mean, I love a lot of games. So it's like, you know, I love like my old Fallouts, like Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, and Fallout 3 is great, and New Vegas is awesome. I love the Fallout series. I mean, I love like RPGs, MMOs. I've put hours into World of Warcraft a long time ago, not as much as Diaz over there. And I mean, just anything. The only games that I don't play, I think, would be, like, fighter games, because I just really suck at fighter games. Fighter games and sports games.
I might be on the same boat as you.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Fighting games are great. Like, I enjoy watching people kick other people's asses, but, like, I'm not too big on them, so.
So, what has been the most memorable experience that you had from the PAX? Something that you most remembered from?
Most memorable experience, I would have to say probably there were two moments. One, like I saw Randy Pitchford on the floor and I got a picture with him, like it was in front of the Gearbox booth. And then two, it didn't have to do with PAX, like being at PAX, but I had come up here for a PAX, and it was before PAX had started, but I went to the Barking Crab, which is down the road from where we're at right now, down from the convention center, and I met Michael Rooker,
from Walking Dead.
Yeah, from Walking Dead. Yeah. And like Mallrats. Like, yeah. So we were sitting at the crab place, and like he comes and he sits down, and me and my brother are looking at him. We're like, that guy looks familiar. I was like, that looks like Michael Rooker. And he was like, no, that can't be. And like, it was literally like a picnic table. So it was like two picnic tables next to each other. And he was at one table, we're at the other one. And like, me and my brother are both like looking down at our phone, and we're like looking at pictures of Michael Rooker, and like doing this like up and looking at him thing. And then like I was just like, I think that's him. I was like, I'm gonna ask him. And like, I turned to him and I was like, it's like, are you Michael Rooker? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm Michael Rooker. And like, you know, we started talking and chatting, and I thought he was here. I was like, oh, are you here for the game convention? Because I know he had done, around that time, I think that's when like Black Ops 3 came out, and I think that he did a voice in Black Ops or one of the Black Ops games. I think it might have been Black Ops 3. So I was like, are you here for the game convention? He didn't even know. And he was like, no. He's like, there's a game convention? And he's like, and we just started talking about games, and he was telling us about just like him doing voice acting and stuff like that. And he was just there with his kids, and they were going checking out colleges around this area. And it was just a really like just that casual conversation. Just like, it was really awesome. Like, he was a really cool, really nice dude. Like, I feel I'm one of those people that feels bad. Like, I didn't ask for his picture. I was just like, you know what? You're with your family. Like, I don't want to draw attention to you. Like, so like, I just let the conversation be, and that was it.
No, I think that's the best way to approach celebrities. Yeah. That way, it's just like, you just have a casual conversation, not ask for anything. Yeah. I mean, the conversation itself was just enough.
Like, you know,
yeah,
you,
I mean, just let get, them you, initiate if yeah, they want to do that.
Yeah, you don't get a conversation with a celebrity like that every day. Yeah. So it's like, I was like, you know, that was just enough that like you took the time and you had a conversation. So that was good enough for me. Don't need a picture of me.
I wish I had that kind of experience.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. Thanks, Boston Mike. It was the concierge at the Hilton in the Financial District.
Nice. Going back to talking about the community as well as with PAX, I know you do something special every year with the community group. Can you tell us what that special thing is for the community?
I give out lots of games. I have a collection of games that I, over the years, everybody should subscribe to Humble Bundle because it's really awesome, the monthly bundles. I mean, I subscribe to Humble Bundle, and every month they give me a whole, like, I think like 6 or 7 games, and I'll usually take one game and I'll leave the rest of my library, and I let it accumulate over a year. And when I come to PAX, I just package the games into 4 little games. And if people find me on the showroom floor, then I give them a little bundle of fun games to play. So I don't know. It's just a good way to cool thing to just give to people. Like, I'm never going to play all those games. Like you said earlier, you have a backlog of like 200 games to play. I'm like, you know, I don't need to add an extra 200 of games. Like games to my collection, so might as well just give it out and let other people play it and enjoy it than me, so because I know I'll never touch them.
Yeah, and I remember my first year actually won that.
Yeah. Totally, yeah, you got the, do you remember what games it was? Because
all I remember is one of them sticks, which I end up having that on my Xbox as well. So.
Nice, there you go, you got a double, double copy of it. You got it for the PC race.
Which I am also switching to PC.
There you go. Yeah, leave those consoles behind. I love consoles, but PC is just where it's at.
Well, right now, I'm actually going for more mobile at the moment. I'm one of those group of people.
You do play a lot of PUBG Mobile, I see.
Yes, I am addicted to PUBG Mobile. I have to say, the hell with Fortnite.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I haven't touched Fortnite. I'm not a Fortnite fan. I'm not saying that it's a bad game. It's not my thing.
Same here.
Yeah.
But it's a bad game.
It's a bad game.
But I am interested in playing Apex Legends from all the...
It's awesome. I mean, I like it. Out of all the Battle Royale games that I've played, which has been Ring of Elysium, PUBG, Fortnite, and Apex Legends, I would say in ranking order, now would probably be like Apex, PUBG, Ring. I don't know, Ring and PUBG. Actually, I do like Ring of Elysium more than I like PUBG. Then PUBG and then Fortnite. Yeah, put that on the bottom of the list. No Fortnite love.
Well, the love might be the same with me on you. Yeah, it's mutual. So when PAX East is over, what do you do normally?
What do I do normally? So I am normally, when PAX East is over, I cry. I cry myself to sleep for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. No, I don't cry. I'm a teacher in DC. I teach early education, preschool, kids 2 to 5. That's my normal daily job.
And besides that, I go to school. I'm working on getting my early education degree, bachelor's in early education. And I just play a lot of games. That's what I do in my free time. It's a balance of like work, school, and
free time.
And games. So
not to mention and life.
Yeah, and life. Well, life is games, so you know, I get a lot of that.
I mean, that's kind of amazing, just juggling all that, including managing.
It's very hard to manage the group when I'm at work because it's like I get notifications all the time, like when I'm at work and I see them pop up. And it's like I can't be on my phone when like a bunch of 2-year-olds are around me. So it's like it's hard. I see it and I'm like, ugh, like I got to wait until 12 o'clock to deal with all this. I
mean, it gives you more reason to like expand your admin.
Yeah, that too. Yep. Yeah, 100%.
What are you hoping to look forward to or expect with the community group in the future?
I really just hope the community stays how it is. I mean, not like without growth. I want it to grow, but I want it to be just like how it is now, just self-sustaining, people just being helpful to others, and just watch people set things up over the years, and really just watching the group grow as a community, because that's like definitely one of the most rewarding things that I've seen as this group has gotten bigger. It's just how rewarding it is to see everybody do their own things and really make those connections.
Awesome. I hope to see that grow as well. I mean, and be more involved with it too. I look forward to seeing you on the floor.
Yeah, man.
Just in passing, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, we always bump into each other at some point.
Yeah.
Literally, there is some point where like I will bump into you without like unplanned, unnoticed. It's like, oh, there's Ben.
Yeah. Although I know a few like events that we're going to.
Like tonight, the free gamer party.
That tonight. Also, I'll be also going to the Gearbox as well.
Nice.
The panel.
Hell yeah, man.
Probably none of the after parties that with you guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know which after parties we're going to go to. There's a lot. I mean, my plate is pretty full right now on like what we're doing, so.
Same here. And then also we got the community photo.
Oh, yeah. We got the community photo group coming up on Thursday, tomorrow, and on Saturday. Saturday's going to be like, it's something new that we're doing because I got word from a lot of people that can't make Thursday. And, you know, I feel bad. It's like I can't do everything and like. And, like, Val over here, thanks to Val for taking the pictures. I was like, you know, if we do another day, like, I think doing it later as, like, because the first group photo isn't, it's just taking a picture, but I want, like, a picture and, like, a real meetup where, like, then we can kind of, like, go and do something afterwards. So the second picture on Saturday is going to be a meetup to take a picture, and then we're just going to go drinking in the Winston lobby somewhere, so.
So, Dan, where can everyone find you?
Everybody can find me on Facebook. I mean, Daniel Beardo, if you find it, look for the dude with the beard. On Twitter, at BeardVerseGames. And then I do some Twitch stuff at www.twitch.tv/BeardVerseGames.
Daniel, thank you very much for taking the time.
Hell yeah, dude.
See you on the floor. And this is Ben Chow signing off for On the Day Before PAX. Thank you. Hi again, this is Ben Chow for City White Blackout on another day at PAX. And I'm here with a person named Ted Morang. And he is known every year as the PAX East Beach Ball guy. I'd like to say hi, and how are you enjoying PAX?
Oh, PAX is it's incredible this year. Every year they're surprising me with something different, and it's for Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft to be here, and I love to just see what's going to be the next big thing, what like the next big game. It's pretty cool.
I feel the same way. So you're known as the PAX East Beach Ball guy. How did that start, and how long ago?
It started in 2012. My first PAX was 2011, and I noticed that I went one day, and a few people had some beach balls, and the crowd was just going absolutely crazy for them. So the following year, I decided to go to Walmart and buy like 10 or 12, and I brought them on Friday and released them, and people were going absolutely crazy. So then I decided on Saturday to go out and buy more beach balls. And like by Sunday, I had like 30 beach balls going. Yeah, and it was crazy. So then the following year after that, 2013, I decided to make my Twitter handle PAX Beach Baller. And every year since then, I go on beachballs.com and just go in the clearance section and just buy maybe 100 beach balls or so. I usually have 25 to 30 per day, and it's been going pretty good.
And it's now become part of the tradition in waiting the line before we get into the expo hall that you basically play around with beach balls like at a rock concert.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I get here at 7:30. I usually start heading in around 8, kind of hang out a little bit because I like to kind of get into line around 9 a.m. The queue line is from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I like to get there at 9 because half the line is filled up, so you have a wider line so people can, you know, hit the beach balls without them going out of play and, you know, lost forever, basically. But yeah, it's pretty fun. At least I think so.
I definitely enjoy it, as well as a lot of people have. And a lot of people, like, you pretty much have inspired some people to bring in some other stuff to, like, that can be tossed around that's inflatable, such as mini dolphins, whales, even donuts.
Yeah.
So outside the PAX and being the beach ball guy, what do you do normally?
What do we do for fun?
And what do you do during the day, as your day job?
As a day job, I work in sales. I work for a company called NH Bragg, and I sell safety supplies, fasteners and power equipment, power tools, stuff like that. And usually when I'm not working, I'm a big gamer. Not so much PC anymore, but I'll play Xbox One. I'm playing The Division 2 right now. That's my big game. And before that was Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So Assassin's Creed's one of my biggest, is my favorite franchise of all time. And I kind of miss Ubisoft bringing Assassin's Creed to PAX East. So hopefully one day we'll see it return.
I hope so too. I mean, I've played some of the of Ubisoft's games. I played The Division. I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Still have a huge library of the games to play with.
Yeah.
So what did get you into gaming to begin with?
Honestly, my father, I grew up with a brother, so having a player two almost always helped playing with somebody. But my father got me the original Nintendo, when my brother and I were young. And I think that's really what started it, was sitting in front of it and playing Mario. I'm 32 years old. I'll actually be 33 years old on Monday. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I never played Atari. I went from Nintendo to Nintendo 64, which was all-time greatest Christmas present I've ever opened. And then I got into PlayStation, then Xbox One. I'm sorry, the original Xbox and Xbox 360 and PlayStation 4 and... I've kind of bounced around between systems. I played PC for a little bit, and I like PC, but I like having a controller in my hand, so that's why I kind of geared towards Xbox One. But it was definitely original Nintendo is what got me into gaming, for sure.
That's kind of almost the same with me as well. I had a Nintendo, but the first system I had that I can remember was a Coleco. It's basically the in-between an Atari and a early Nintendo.
Really?
Yeah. It had a control system as well, but it was a joystick and just keypads.
Wow.
So, and that's where I did play Donkey Kong for the first time. There was a Donkey Kong and Nintendo did exist back then.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was the first Nintendo game I actually played. It was the very first Donkey Kong game for the Coleco. And
really?
Yeah, and it was fun. And then I remember that. And evidently got rid of it because we kind of drew all over it when we were kids. And we were kinda...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I recently found my old Nintendo, and there's crayon marks all over it. You know, I mean, it was Super Mario. I played a Ninja Turtles game. It was a side-scroller. I forget what it's called, but it was Ninja Turtles something.
I do remember that one.
Yeah, it was like a four-player. I think it was a four-player game, maybe. I'm not really sure, but there was, like, one game was McDonald's McKids. Which, that was a game that, like, you know, I recently YouTubed it just to see what it was like, and it just brought me way back. And that was a game that was probably so underrated and not too many people had, but it was just a fun childhood moment, I guess.
Oh, but that brings me back to days.
Oh, yeah.
The days. Those were the days. So, here at PAX, what have you seen thus far that you love throughout this whole weekend?
Well, I'm a big zombie fan. I love anything that has zombies in it, and Days Gone kind of drew me. It was bittersweet playing it because it's such a great game, but I actually just recently sold my PS4, so I can't play it once it comes out. But it was like by far their set, like their booth is the absolutely most incredible booth I've seen so far. It's like they have real life zombie actors that are like trying to like grab people through gates and everything. And I waited about 20 minutes in line to play, and it's a good game. It gets your adrenaline pumping because you have like this survival mode where you have these three hundred fast paced zombies coming at you, and you barely have time to turn around and shoot. So a game like that just gets your adrenaline pumping, and if you have anxiety, it's a worse game to play, but that's definitely something that I'd be willing to try again, and something that's definitely got me excited about this Bubble PAX this year.
I saw that booth downstairs. Haven't gotten a chance to play the game. Then yeah, that just scares the crap out of me.
Oh
right
my
now.
Gosh, it's incredible! It's absolutely incredible. Like, if they said, Ted, we need some help being like a zombie, like we're willing to dress you up, but you have to stand here all day and do it, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I think that would just be the funnest thing to like
to scare you know, people, like not even know what's going on, and oh, looks so fun.
So of all the years that you've gone to PAX, like what has been the most memorable experience you got from all attending the event?
I think being an Assassin's Creed fan, I mean, I guess game-wise, Assassin's Creed, seeing it every year, seeing the set, seeing the cosplayers, I can really appreciate, you know, the time and effort cosplayers go into making their outfits. But other than games and cosplayers, I mean, the morning queue line is what I'm, you know, it's 50% why I'm here. Like, I enjoy, like, a lot of people think I'm crazy for getting up at 6 a.m. Like, granted, I only live, like, about 15 minutes north of Boston, but to come in this early and wait in line just so I can bring some beach balls so people can have some fun, like, that's really why I do it. It's been a really good experience. I've met a lot of people that I see every year now. You know, people will kind of stop me and say, oh, hey, are you the PAX Beach Baller? And we'll just start talking about random stuff about the convention. And this one guy private messaged me and said that his daughter looks forward to the beach balls every year. He has an 8-year-old daughter. This was a couple of years ago. And he was like, hey, do you think that my daughter could meet you? Like, she really wants to meet you. Like, do you think you could sign her badge or her PAX badge? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, that'd be kind of cool. Like, I mean, I feel like I'm a normal guy, so like to sign an autograph, like I thought that was really strange. But to an 8-year-old girl, it would mean the world to her. So what I actually did was, I went on beachballs.com and I placed my order for my big, you know, my big beach ball order, and I bought a 4-inch beach ball, which is think about 4 inches. It's a very small beach ball, and I ended up signing that too and giving it to her. So every year, I usually make some time to meet up with them, say how they're doing. You know, she's like, I think she's like 11 now, maybe. So she's gotten older. But it's just like, it's like one of those traditions that I look forward to. And based upon everybody's responses on Twitter, because that's mainly what I'm on is Twitter, people appreciate it. like, there was one time a few years ago where I was late, and my Twitter was blowing up, saying, like, where are you, where are you, you know? I'm not the only one that brings beach balls. Like you said earlier, people bring, like, inflatable animals and all that, which makes it fun for them. But, yeah, people were like, people know when I'm not there, which kind of makes me feel good, but also makes me, I have a lot of responsibility. Like, I have to bring these beach balls, you know, stuff like that.
You create yourself as your own mini-celebrity here.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't generally go Sundays anymore just because 3 days is good for me, so I buy 4 tickets automatically anyway. So what I end up doing is Saturday is usually the biggest day. It's the most popular day for everybody to go. So I'll take my Saturday beach balls and my Sunday beach balls and bring them on Saturday. And now there's like 50 beach balls going. Like this morning was absolutely insane. It was overwhelming, to say the least. But everybody was having a good time. So I guess that's all that matters, really.
And do you think someone, like, now, if you're not going to show up, is there someone in place to take, like, be your fill-in position or your substitute?
I don't think there's anybody to fill in. I mean, if I knew I wouldn't be able to make a day, I would say well ahead of time, like, days or weeks in advance, hey, listen, I'm not going to be there. I don't know if anybody else wants to bring beach balls and do their own thing, but... I mean, if my beach balls weren't there this morning, there was probably a dozen small animal inflatables. There's a few other beach balls going. So I think people still would have had fun. They just wouldn't have the 30 extra beach balls going at the time, you know?
But yeah, but it wouldn't be an official beach ball mosh pit without you.
No, yeah. It's crazy because I'll pass them out, I'll turn around, and there's beach balls just going everywhere. And, like, I always try to post on my Twitter to, like, you know, be respectful of others. Like, I made a post the other day saying, like, if you're trying to falcon punch a beach ball, just, like, go easy. Because they basically herd us all in these queue lines like cattle. Mm-hmm. And we're all shoulder to shoulder. So you got to be just mindful of the people around you. And, you know, if you want to hit the beach ball, great. But don't, just be careful you're not hitting anybody with your elbows. And, you know, we're all trying to be safe. We're all trying to have fun.
Be mindful of your personal surroundings and of other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, there's some people that just, they get really excited. And they see the beach ball coming, and they're going to hit it. And sometimes there might be a cosplayer right next to him that's been working on his or her outfit for a year. And then you might knock her shoulder piece off, and you know, and that causes damage.
Yeah, and I actually saw that firsthand last year when I saw in the queue line, I saw someone dressed up as Mercy, and she built these beautiful angel wings of that character. And one of the beach balls, someone did kind of spiked it down on her by accident, and it actually broke her wings.
Yeah, I think a lot of PAX East goers know, like, if you're cosplaying and you have, like, if you have a very delicate cosplay outfit, not even thinking about the beach balls, you're not going to want to put yourself in that situation, even if the beach balls weren't there, because you're so close together, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're down there on the expo floor, you're not seeing all these cosplayers, like, you know, deep in the crowds. They're usually, like, you know, out on the outside perimeter or... you know, like inside the places where there's large openings. So, yeah, it's tough to see somebody's outfit get damaged, you know, especially when they've been working on it so long.
But then again, I mean, the risk was there. They kind of should have known. But it was probably the first time going. It's a learning experience. I mean, PAX has become a learning experience for everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. I mean, they can be damaging. And that's actually one reason why I do not like the inflatable animals, especially like the large killer whale, because as funny as it is to see it pop up, like, they have plastic. I mean, you're supposed to be riding it in a pool, so they have big heavy plastic handles, and those can hurt if they hit you.
Yeah, and not only that, sometimes those balls can leap out of the lines and into booths. I mean, we're actually lined up right next to the tabletop area.
Yeah,
and there are booths there, and that can actually damage people's, like, displays and stuff like that. And most people do know about, some people don't, or don't even care.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. That does, I mean, as fun as it is, there are certain limits, and this is kind of one of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't really have those kind of poolside toys. Like, I mean, there are some poolside toys that is suitable that doesn't have handles.
Oh, yeah, some of them are smaller than my beach balls. And I usually, when I buy beach balls, like, 5 years ago, I would buy, like, the massive... like 48-inch, 64-inch beach balls that are you can barely hold, just because they were fun, but they cause damage sometimes. So what I usually do is I'll stick to like 16-inch or 24-inch beach balls, which are smaller and lighter, so they're not gonna, if they were to bounce out or hit somebody in the head, it's not gonna it's not going to do much damage, if any damage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And just seeing that firsthand, yeah, I totally understand that. So what are your plans for the rest of the day? As you have said, this may be your last day for the weekend at PAX. Yeah. What are you looking forward to seeing while you're still here?
Well, today's kind of a special day because I brought my girlfriend who's actually staying in right next to me. It's her first day. It's her first PAX ever. So we're going to take it slow and we're going to walk around and see the booths. I mean, I've kind of already seen everything I've seen so far. Like, I've seen everything. I'm a big pin trader and collector, so I kind of scout out where all the pins are, and I'll do that. And, you know, I have a good amount of group of friends around here that I'll kind of bounce between and say hi to everybody. But I think today we're just going to take it easy, walk around, get some food, people watch. I mean, I love watching. If there's any cosplay meetups, I'll go check those out. Just take it easy. Like, that's... Like, the first day is I like to scout out. I like to scout out what's going on, like, what lines are going to be really long, so for me to take advantage the next morning. But my last day is usually always kind of like a laid-back day. I have really no mission other than walk around and take a look at things and maybe hop in a line or two to go play a game.
I kind of do the same thing on the very first day. Like, on Thursday, it was very low-key, not many people. I basically do the same thing, just... figure out the lay of the land.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to, if you're ever going to do a convention like this, mm-hmm. is, and going for all the 4 days, if you're just going to marathon the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just, like, pace yourself on the first day. Just check everything out. And then next day, try to go to, like, big, important booths that you...
Yeah,
like you know,
Oculus,
it's going to be...
Like Oculus.
Yeah.
Like Oculus, like, you got to get there early, because then they're going to... If you don't get in there within the first 10, 15 minutes, they're going to cap the line. And then you got to walk around, wait for them to uncap it. And even with the line being capped, you're probably going to be waiting an hour and a half. So you really have to play it smart. And it's a big convention. Like, I go to Comic Cons all the time, and this is definitely the biggest convention I've been to. And it's confusing. It's like a maze. You constantly have to look around at your surroundings to figure out where you are. You know.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, this is the biggest one for New England. As far as I know, and you just have to basically be aware.
Yeah.
Of what your surroundings, as well as play it smart.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I'm doing all 4 days. I'm starting to feel a little worn out, but
yeah,
I am taking today a little easier. After this, I'm going to take a look at the indie booths, and then also probably head next door to Bethesda's event.
Yeah, just give them a quick see. That earlier. Yeah. I might check that out.
Yeah, just to take a quick see. I mean, I missed out on most of it last year, so I figured why not. So
yeah, and it's easy to get there. They have like that catwalk. Right there. Actually, it's right there.
Yeah, between the Westin and... Yeah,
you can easily go there. Super, like, it's really simple. Like, last year, I stayed at the Westin just because it's convenient, and I didn't have to wake up early. And Thursday and Friday, Boston traffic. Normally, it would take me 20 minutes to get into the city. Thursday and Friday, you're looking at least an hour in traffic. So I stayed at the Westin last year. Way too expensive. So this year, I decided, you know, forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I usually commute from my home. So it's like, I mean, I could get a hotel if I wanted to. I don't see a reason. Last night, I took a cab home from a party last night that was nearby. It was worth $25.
Yeah.
If you could live like about $25 away from the convention center, to, like, you could either buy Uber, a cab, or Lyft. I mean, it's still kind of worth it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, here it's like... I mean, if you can find cheap parking somewhere, go for it. And then there's Uber in. I mean, like, parking here is $20 a day. So, like, all 4 days, like, that adds up. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, Uber's definitely a good idea, too, just to take into the city or public transportation. You got the Silver Line coming right, basically, right down the street from here, you know?
Yeah, these are some of our pro tips for if you ever want to go to a convention.
Lots of pro tips. I mean, I've been coming since 2011, so, I mean... It's the pro tips are endless.
Yeah, and so we're basically veterans here from the PAX, or any just as convention goes, because I mean, this is my 8th year going, so
yeah.
I'm just like 1 year behind you.
Yeah, it's definitely it's exciting for this event to come up and like the Facebook group that we're on. Mm-hmm. I think Daniel's the admin of it, he does a really good job at, you know, like posting what's going on and. You know, he does giveaways, and it's a really active Facebook group. And being able to have that Facebook group throughout the year just to talk and get each other pumped up when it gets close to PAX, it's something that I look forward to.
And that's, I mean, that's how most of us started to find out, like, who you were. was through that group because you finally popped up and mentioned, okay, hi, I'm the Peach Ball guy.
Yeah, and then that's how everybody starts finding me because I'm only on Twitter, but, like, I don't even have a personal Twitter account. I don't use Twitter. I just use Twitter for PAX Beach Baller. I thought about making, like, I made an Instagram. It didn't really go anywhere. I made a Facebook group. That didn't really go anywhere. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's just Twitter, really.
Yeah, it seems to work out. I mean, I hope you help that little girl reach out to you. And she personally made you her personal hero.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, as a personal celeb, like her own personal celebrity. Well,
see, I feel like PAX is filled with their own little mini celebrity figures. Like, for instance, Free Shrugs guy.
Saw him twice this weekend.
Yeah,
so.
he's walking around with the Free Shrugs. Instead of Free Hugs, it's Free Shrugs. And he's here every single year. So everybody knows him.
I've seen him at every single con.
Yeah, I have seen him at Boston Comic Con one year. But I don't know his name. I usually say hi to him whenever I see him. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's just one of those people that you see every single year.
I actually ran into him last year, I think, at Boston Comic Con. And he finally communicated to me. And he actually introduced me his Twitter card. So he's on Twitter and on Facebook. So I would like to get in touch with him and to actually talk to him, just like I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure he'd love to do that. I'm pretty sure he's on the Facebook page.
I'll go and see him, find out if he is. I know he's somewhere on Facebook, so.
Yeah.
It seems like, and also there's like another guy who I just actually ran into yesterday and talked to for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen him around for the last couple of years at PAX.
Yeah.
Is this the Voter guy who has this board, whiteboard.
Yeah.
That like asks people, like, really, like, do you like either hot dogs or hamburgers?
Oh, so he does the tallies?
He does the tallies. Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
So like, I actually had a little talk with him yesterday. Yeah. So, and cause I saw him, made it like a couple of times on the floor.
Yeah.
And we started to talking. So.
Yeah. Again, another group is the Ghostbusters. They're at like every convention. I think there's like three or four of them, and I know there's like another guy who plays Thor. He usually walks around with him. But again, he's somebody that I see every single year. So I kind of just make a point to go, say, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, but nothing crazy, but it's comforting to come back to this convention every year. And I mean, there's like, I don't know, 50,000 people that get tickets for this thing. But like, you see the same people every single year, and it's comforting. It feels like it's like a little family.
Especially with our group that we're involved in. It's like we only see each other once a year, but we stay in touch like throughout the year.
Yeah.
Through Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media outlet that we use. So it feels like, well, this has kind of been the topic that I've come across through all these interviews over the weekend, is that PAX is actually a community that actually gets more people together and make them feel more welcome.
Yeah. I mean, people I know, they play online games together, and they're from all across the United States, and they come to PAX and meet up. You know, and it's people that you talk to online every day, and you've never really met them in person, but you all meet up, and you're best friends, and it's just cool to see the connections people have with each other here. And it's such a comfortable environment.
It definitely is. You know? It definitely is. Of all the cons I've gone to, I mean, this has been the most welcoming convention. With like, the environment seems so welcoming that, I mean, this is why I've been coming for 8 years, and this is probably why I've been coming for every 9 years.
Yeah,
so
like, people are just, a lot of the outfits people wear are awesome. A lot of them are very odd, but odd's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, the stuff that it's really creative, but they're so comfortable wearing it because they're surrounded by people that have the same, you know,
niche.
Like the same personalities, like they like stuff in common. Because if you were some like gamer nerd and you were to go to like a sports game where you're not really into sports, you're gonna feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if you come here, it feels like you're amongst your own people, I guess you could say.
Because the people who are running it and also helping out are actually people like us. They're also fans.
Exactly, yeah.
And stuff and so forth. So.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Where can everyone find you or get in touch with you just to say hi and so forth?
On Twitter. Twitter's my main source right now. So it's going to be at PAX, P-A-X, Beach Baller, all one word. And so, you know, follow me, message me. You know, I'm usually pretty good at following back. I kind of hibernate a little bit during the off season, but usually like a month before and after PAX, I'm still kind of, you know, socializing and talking to people. But yeah, at PAX Beach Baller on Twitter.
Well, thank you very much, Ted, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day at PAX.
All right, I appreciate it, Benjamin. Thank you.
Thank you.